This church is so blessed, it's unbelievable. You have no idea how blessed we are. And the reason I'm saying that is, you know, Brother and Mrs. Echols have been such a blessing to me as a pastor and to the church and Mrs. Storm. And I'll tell you what, I just cannot thank them enough for all they did. Last Sunday morning, I had a really hard time preaching. I really did. And I got home, I laid down, and I went to sleep. And I called Brother Echoes. I said, man, there's no way I'm going to make it. None. I had no voice. None. I mean, I couldn't talk at all. So he came in, and he preached last Sunday night for me. And I'll tell you, I just appreciate them so much. And so then I finally went to the doctor on Thursday, got in to see him on Thursday. I had bronchial pneumonia. And so they usually hit me pretty hard with steroids and antibiotics. Well, when I'm on steroids, I have roid rage. Not road rage, roid rage. And people around here, when I'm on steroids, usually try to stay away from me as much as possible. And then Saturday or Friday, we had such a busy day here. We had about 150 people we fed in food line. We had over 100 people here for Santa. And Nick's still here? Oh, he must have had off. Huh? Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, the Nick was Saint Nick, and I mean it was just a super day. And then I had another doctor's appointment. I had to go to that one, and I like going to that one. That's my podiatrist, and she does my toes, she does my feet. I mean, you know, for $5 going in for a copay, it's like going to a spa. Amen. You know, the only thing she doesn't put toenail polish on. But so turn your Bible, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 1. So now that I'm getting rid of all my steroids, I'm feeling a whole lot better. John chapter 1, starting at verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I just pray now that you might help me to give this message in the way that you would have it to be given. I just pray that if everybody listens intently, they can get something out of it, and we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The title of this morning's message is The Son of God. The Son of God. Now, the last 3 weeks, I've preached on different messages on the birth of Christ. The first one was out of the book of Matthew, and we saw the birth of a king. The second week, we saw out of the book of Mark, and that was the birth of a servant. Last week, I preached out of the book of Luke, and we saw the birth of the Son of Man. Now, this morning, you noticed in my title of the message, I did not have the birth of the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you why as I go through the message a little bit today, and you're going to understand a little bit more about this. And believe it or not, John did not, and when he wrote the book of John, he did not write about the birth of the Son of God. And I'm going to take and explain that as I get through this. The first thing we need to look at is we need to look at the preexistence of Jesus. We need to look at the preexistence of the Lord. John, in two of his books, he wrote and talked about the preexistence of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In 1 John 1:1 it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Word of life." With these two scriptures, we see that the Lord Jesus had no beginning. There was no beginning with Him. He has always been, and He always will be. There was nowhere ever does it state that this Son of God was ever born. Jesus was never born because He's preexistent. You know, God the Father has always been. There was no beginning, and He is now, and there will be no end. In Isaiah chapter 41:4, it says, "Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, with me, the last, I am He." You know, God has always been. There is no beginning. There is no end to God. And it's hard for me to understand that because God did not give me an infinite mind. And I know He didn't give you an infinite mind. We cannot comprehend God's preexistence. We just can't. You talk to anyone, any scientist, and they'll say, there's no way, none, zero, that anything can just preexist. No way. It has to be created. Or it has to be conceived. Or it has to have a start to it, and it has to have an end to it. But that is not the way it is with God. God always has been. God always will be. You know, Jesus is the second of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, being God in flesh, has been, is now, and forever will be. Amen? You know, Philippians 2:6 says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." In John 10:30 it says, "I and my Father are one." Wow! You know, people in the day of the Lord could not understand how that Jesus could be God. They couldn't. In fact, even today, people can't understand how Jesus can be God. Well, let's go a little ways farther back, shall we? Let's go back to creation. When God made man, how did He make man? In His old image. What was God's image? Okay. He was what? Spirit. He was soul. And He was body. Body, soul, and spirit. And you say, well, how can that be? God the Father is the soul. God the Spirit is the spirit. God the Son is the flesh. Body, soul, spirit. How did He make us? Body, soul, spirit. If you don't have a soul, you're not living. Did you know that? If you don't have a spirit, you cannot communicate with God. God is spirit. We communicate Him in spirit. And if it was not for the Lord Jesus being in flesh, He could not have died on the cross for our sin. This is a concept that we have to understand, that we have a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All are one God. Just like your body is Nick. Just like your body is Brother Echoes. It's a whole body. Body, soul, and spirit. It's the same way with God. And it's hard to separate something that is one. You know, you've got one body here. I can't take my soul out and put it over here and say, okay, soul, you stay there. I can't take my spirit out and put it over here and say, okay, spirit, you stay there, and the body's going to be here. I can't do that because I would die. I got to have all three together in order to make my life work. It's the same way with God. God has to have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be God. You know, we need to realize that God can separate himself. You say, how can that happen? Well, he's God. You know, let's face it. When Jesus came to earth, he separated the body from the soul and the spirit. After all, what happened to Jesus' baptism? All three of them were there at the same time. Jesus got baptized. All of a sudden, the heavens opened up. Here comes a dove. The Holy Spirit landed on top of him. All of a sudden, there's a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, here's the triune God all in one, but separate. I can't understand that. I can't. Because my mind can't wrap around it. But yet, I'm not God. You know, God is just so powerful. You know, there was no beginning and there's going to be no end to the Lord Jesus. You know, he has been, he will be, and he forever. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." You know, there's no... If you go in the book of John, it's very interesting. Do you know that there's no genealogy in there for the Lord? Did you know that? There's no genealogy. You go to the book of Matthew, there's a genealogy. You go to the book of Luke, there's a genealogy. But guess what? There's no genealogy in the book of John. Because Jesus, the Son of God, had no beginning. You know, look at his genealogy, God. That's it. God. You know, that's his whole genealogy. You know, not be God of somebody. You know, have you ever read the book of Numbers? You know, so-and-so begot, so-and-so, so-and-so begot, 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 begot. And I get through there, and I mean, I'm so tired of the begots that I kind of go, okay, when are we going to be done with the begots? You know what I mean? But here's God. God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible where it talks about God swearing to himself. Who is he going to swear to? There's nobody higher than him. You know, we have to wrap our minds around this fact that we serve an infinite God, all-powerful, a God who cannot fail. You know, so many times, you know, in the world we live in today, we see that people have to see signs and wonders to believe anything, okay? Now, turn your Bibles to John. If you're in John, go to John chapter 1. I want to show you some verses here at Jesus' baptism. And John chapter 1, verse 32, it says, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but that... sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this was the what? Son of God." Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but in the day and age we live, everybody needs to see signs and wonders. If I was standing on the riverbank watching John baptize, all of a sudden he goes and baptizes someone, and here's a dove fly and land on top of him and stay right there. Sat right on him. And a voice came from heaven. How much more of a sign and wonder do you need? Huh? I mean, do you need lightning to come down and strike everybody dead? You know, do you have to have something like in Elijah's time when 400 prophets of Baal got killed? I mean, you know, do you have to have something like that in order to believe? Why is it people cannot understand today who the Lord Jesus Christ really is? Why is it? You know, it's so easy, so simple. And yet, people try to make it so difficult. You know, I don't believe that John was at the baptism of Jesus. John the writer of the book of John. I believe that he was told about what had happened there. And it impressed him so much that he had to take and write it in the book that he wrote. I believe that he had to take and try to put in human words the magnificence of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. People today, you know, there's an awful lot of churches today that don't believe in baptism anymore. They don't believe that baptism means anything. Well, I do. If Jesus was baptized, we need to follow him in believer's baptism. Amen? I'll tell you what I'm excited about today. We've got two baptisms today, and I'm excited about it. But John also shows the mighty works of the Lord Jesus. Psalms chapter 107, verse 8, it says, "All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." Psalms 107, this same statement is made wonderful works of the Lord. We need to look at the works of the Lord. You got to take and look at what the Lord actually did. Look in creation, in John chapter 1, as long as you're in John there, look at verse 3. It says, "All things were created by who?" By him, speaking of Jesus. All things were created of him. And without him was nothing made that was made. The Lord Jesus was there from the very foundations of the world. He was here and he formed everything and he made them just as they needed to be. God the Father spoke it and it was done. We cannot comprehend how the worlds were created, can we? I cannot comprehend how God spoke, Jesus made, and boom, it was done. Think about creation. It took all three of the Godhead in creation, didn't it? God the Father spoke it. God the Son made it. God the Holy Spirit breathed life into it. Wow. I'll tell you what, if it wouldn't have been for all three, we wouldn't have the creation we do today. We wouldn't have the universe we have today. We wouldn't have everything that we have, the animals, the trees, everything that we have. We wouldn't have it. We've got a marvelous, marvelous God. You know, we cannot comprehend the worlds and how they were put together and how they're kept together. You know, God, John shows many miracles which were done, and other gospels show many miracles that the Lord was able to do and the many works that he did while he was here on earth. You know, John is the only one who records the first miracle of the Lord. Who can tell me what the first miracle of the Lord was? Water into wine at the wedding. Remember that? They get to the wedding. Mary's there. And they go, uh-oh. Somebody forgot to bring the wine. Oh, no, no party. No, no wine, okay? Mary says, do whatever he says. What did Jesus say? My time is not yet come. But Mary knew. Mary knew his time was there. Mary said, just do what he says. He's okay, go fill those water pots with water. Now, what were the water pots for? Who can tell me? What did they use water pots for? Okay. No, these water pots were about 16 gallons. Okay. What they did with those water pots is they would fill those water pots with water. The water is so bad over in the Middle East that they would leave that water in those water pots for at least 24 hours. And there was something in the pots that would take and purify that water to where they could drink it. Now, They had just drawn the water out of the well into those water pots. That water was not pure yet because it had not set long enough in the water pots. He says, go fill those with water. So they did. He goes, okay, now go and pour it to the dad. And they did. And it was new wine. Just like that. Listen, what we need to realize is that Jesus had all power. He had all the power that God the Father had given him. We need to realize that John was also one of the only ones who recorded the cleansing of the temple. In John chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, it says, and found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house the house of merchandise. Listen, this was very important to show the Son of God cleaning his house. This was the very Son of God who was going to clean house. You know, when the temple was first built, God himself descended upon it, and he said, this house will be a house of prayer for my people. And now what they were using it for was a den of thieves. You know, as I was reading this, the other, doing this message, I got to thinking about Jesus' emotions. He was a man just like you and I are, isn't he? He had emotion just like you and I do. You know, God made us in his image. What image did he make us? Body, soul, and spirit. But he also gave us emotions. Does God himself, God the Father, ever get angry? You bet he does. God the Son got angry. Walked into the temple. They were selling merchandise. Made a scourge. Started whipping the people, driving them out like oxen. Why? Because God's house would be the house of prayer. You know, what we need to realize is that Jesus got angry. Jesus also got sad, didn't he? You know, what's the longest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. No, I'm sorry, shortest. Did I? Oh, okay. Shortest verse of the Bible, Jesus wept. Okay, it shows his emotion. He wept. He had sadness. You know, it's like you and I. You know, have you ever cried? I have. Have you ever got angry? Yeah, I have. You know, what we need to realize is that God gave us emotions for that reason. You know, John is also the only gospel to show the power of Jesus to give eternal life. John chapter 3. Turn over there if you would. John chapter 3. There's a saying goes like this. If there was only one book in the Bible, and it was the book of John, a person could find their way to heaven. If there is only one chapter in the Bible, and that was John chapter 3, a person could find their way to heaven. If there is only one verse in the Bible, and that was John 3:16, a person could still find their way to heaven. John chapter 3, starting verse number 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say ye must be born again." This is the first place where it is shown a person needs to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus goes on to show his deity in chapter 3. Starting in verse 15, it says, "And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." What we need to realize is this: there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is showing all of mankind the only way that they can get to heaven is by the cross. You know, God loved us so much that he gave the only thing that he had. Think about that for a minute. He gave part of himself. The only thing that he had to give was part of himself. He gave part of himself so that you and I could have eternal life. Man, I'll tell you what, I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend God giving part of himself so that you and I can have eternal life. A man once said that if you only had John 3:16, you could get to heaven. And I really and truly believe that. If a person can grasp John 3:16 and the love that God has for each of us, there's no reason, none whatsoever, a person should ever go to hell. Ever. But people just don't want to grasp it. John is the only one who shows Lazarus being raised from the dead. In raising of Lazarus, Jesus was showing himself as God in flesh for what king could ever raise someone from the dead. Matthew, in the book of Matthew, we showed him as king. Lazarus was not raised from the dead in Matthew. We showed him as a servant in Mark. What servant could raise someone from the dead? We showed him as the Son of Man in the book of Luke. What man could have ever raised someone from the dead? But in John, the Son of God could raise someone from the dead. Then we also see the humility of Jesus. Go to John chapter 13 again. John chapter 13, starting verse number 3, it says, "Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things unto his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherein he was girded." You know, even though, and I'll tell you what, I look at this story and it brings tears to my eyes. It does. Here's the Son of God, the very Son of God, the creator of all of the universe, girding himself with a towel, walking up to the disciples, getting down on his knees with a basin of water and starting washing their feet. The person who washed the feet of someone who came into the house was the lowliest of the servants. They were the first ones by the door with a basin, and when a traveler would come in or a guest would come in, They would sit down. They would take their sandals off. They would put their feet in the water. And that servant would wash their feet and dry them. Here we see the very Son of God humbling Himself as a servant, kneeling, washing the disciples' feet. Oh, I'll tell you what. We saw an Almighty God, Creator of everything. He made everything, and yet here He is, humbling Himself, down on His knees, washing the disciples' feet and drying them. Well, I'll tell you what, that's humility, isn't it? That's humility if there ever was. Not only that, but Jesus also shows His power over material things. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Starting verse 26, it says, "And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." John wanted to show that there were no bounds whatsoever to hold the Lord Jesus. He wanted to show that there was nothing ever to be able to hold the Son of God. Think about this for just a minute. Here are the disciples. They're shut up in this room. They have the doors locked because of the Jews. They were afraid the Jews were going to kill them because of what they believed. There's no way, none, zero, anybody could get into that room. None. Zero. Without breaking the door down. How'd Jesus get in there? How'd Jesus get in there? Listen. There's no bounds. No bounds with God. I believe He walked right through the door. I really do. He's in His glorified body. He could do anything. We need to realize this, is that we serve an all-powerful God. A God who can do almost anything. You know, Jesus told everyone. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus, I want you to understand something. Even though I'm flesh, even though I'm blood, even though I have emotions just like everybody else does, No one comes to the Father but by me. Wow. You talk about power. I'll tell you what. As I was doing this message, I got to thinking about the love of God. How He loved me so much that He allowed me to be called the son of His. You know, there's not one of us in this room today who can get to heaven on our own. Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin, lived a full life, and He gave His life for you and I. all of us are sitting, believe it or not, at the doorsteps of a new year coming up. What's that new year going to look like? There are those of us sitting here today who may not be here next year. There are faces sitting here today that a year from now may not be here. John put it very plain. He put it very clear that we must be born again in order to get to heaven. We need to be born again before it's too late. You know, this last week, been kind of a trying week. The pastor that I was called out of the church by in Wisconsin had a daughter that was about 5 years younger than my youngest daughter. And he was a great pastor, great pastor. And she became wayward. And she ran away from home when she was 15, and she just, you know, went on her own. And I believe that she was saved. I believe that, you know, she knew who the Lord was and everything. I mean, her dad was just super, super pastor. 35 years old, an email from her brother said that Sarah had a massive stroke at 35 years old and died. 35 years old. Massive stroke and died. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? Not one of us sitting in this room are guaranteed tomorrow. We need to realize also that the Lord can come back today. We need to be ready for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for this message. I just pray that you guide and direct us, Lord. Father, I just thank you so much for dying on the cross for my sins, that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, I'd be absent from this body and present with you. I pray for these people who are here today. Oh, Father, if they're just one, if not 100% sure where they would spend eternity, I just pray they would get it right today. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me today? Just raise your hand quickly, quietly, so I can see it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I need to be. Father, you've seen the hands. You know our hearts. I just pray for these that have raised their hand today. I just pray, Lord, that we can take and get these things settled today. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I pray now that you continue to guide and direct us. Father, we know that there's no way, none, zero, to heaven but by you. And we just pray that there's anyone here today that's not sure that they get it settled before they leave today. There's no greater joy to know that we're absent from this body and present with you. Be with us now, I pray. So we have our closing hymn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's all stand, turn our hymnals, number 161.